This is a pre-recorded version of the WTKA Roundtable on WTKA, unsurprisingly. 9 o'clock Thursdays. It is pre-recorded, however, so if you call in, no one will answer. And for that matter, what is the difference between recorded and pre-recorded?
Welcome back to the Michigan Insider on Sports Talk 1050 WTK. The ticket online at WTK.com. It's Thursday in the 9 o'clock hour, which means it's time for the MGO Blog Roundtable brought to you by Homeshore Lending. If you're looking for a mortgage and you're a Michigan fan, there's only one place to go, Homeshore Lending. Homeshore Lending is a local company, and you'll work directly with the owner, Matt Demarest. Matt bleeds blue, and so does his family.
All right, time for the MGO Blog Roundtable here on the Michigan Insider, Sports Talk 1050 WTKA. No Ed Fang today. Brian is excited about that.
I don't buy it. So, like, you're telling me that after that game, he suddenly has, like, a 200-mile race to run? That's not even plausible.
Right, he didn't show up. He's not like the post office, neither rain nor shine. He's not that guy.
I'm not buying it. I'm not buying it.
Yeah, I actually sent him a note last night saying, hey, I really want to hear what you have to say about this game, but he didn't respond.
Yeah.
So maybe he had already started this race.
Well,
so I don't know.
You know, this is one of those games. I mean, it's often tough to go back over losses, but this one particularly so, because there were so many errors. I mean, it's hard. You can't really point out, well, that part was good. I mean, there were malfunctions in every phase.
Yeah.
For them last Saturday.
Do you guys think it's really errors? I mean, not that there weren't errors, or that just Wisconsin is a lot better. Wisconsin has really evaluated talent a lot better than Michigan.
So
has.
let me pause for a second, and I should have done this at the beginning, what? Like I have every other day, and give Wisconsin. You're right. Wisconsin's a really good football team. Jonathan Taylor is a great back, but a lot of what you see on that film, you look at the film a ton, and you could hear it in Jim Harbaugh's commentary Monday. A lot of what you see on that film is about Michigan. And whether it's, he said, you look at both lines of scrimmage where they were more physical than us. You look at, you know, focus on some plays where guys missed assignments. He said, you look at us. He said, we got out schemed in certain instances. So, again, you point to multiple facets of a team and performance, the things that you have control over. Though many of those things were things that Michigan just didn't do well, that did poorly in this game.
Yeah, and it's what is Michigan trying to do? I can't answer that question.
Which side are you talking now?
On offense. I don't know what their goals are. And kind of the two plays that leapt out to me are, it's right after halftime, McCaffrey's in, and they have two consecutive first down runs for 6 yards with Turner. And on both of those plays, like, their nose tackle gets put 5 yards downfield by Ruiz Onwenu.
Incidentally, their nose tackle's a freshman.
A true freshman. And then their options other than that are to play two defensive ends at the defensive tackle. And so, like, you know, I'm coming into this game, and I'm expecting them to try to use their interior offensive line to beat these guys up. And then when they do it a couple times, they get 6 yards each time. Then you start having to respond to that, except they didn't make Wisconsin do that because they didn't run on consecutive plays in this whole game.
So, is that right? There weren't two? I mean, outside.
Turner had 6 carries, and, like, Charbonnet had 2 carries. They had a total of 10 running back carries. And, like, I was advocating for more throwing of the ball before the game, but, like, before the season. But that's, like, you tell me, like, there are 10 running back carries in a game?
You know, I wonder, you know, once you get past the fourth possession. I mean, dude, at this point, I mean, the point you're talking about, they're down 28-9.
Wow, but you're losing this game either way, right? And then you start running, and it works. And it's like, all right, so why didn't we look at that and, like, try to make that an issue earlier in the game? Instead, we've got Shea Patterson, and Patterson is dropping back, and Wisconsin seems to have this read on him where if they drop the linebacker to the boundary, he's just going to not know what to do with that, and So they do that repeatedly. He's looking at the boundary, and then he doesn't ever, like, switch fields. So there's an out that he's got real early, and the Charbonnet is running, just a little dump off route to the other side. He's wide open. And instead, he's scrambling around, and he's trying to do something. He finds Bell on the first play of the game, and, like, okay, that's great. That's 68 yards. But is that the play? Like, when you've got a couple of open guys to the field, if you're resorting to, like, all right, I'm just going to stare at this one guy who's not open for a while and then improvise. And we saw that kind of snowball the rest of the game where you have guys who are open and Shea can't find him, and then he's scrambling around and it's not working like it did on the Bell thing. So it's just, I wish I could say that there was one thing.
Clearly there wasn't. I mean, there were times where he didn't see. You definitely can see those. There were other times where there's pressure in his face, where guys were flat beaten. This is one of those contests where you're able to see. Or you wonder if you're able to see, at least from an offensive perspective, a way forward if they clean up. For instance, on offense, you saw a couple of examples where, I mean, some of your more veteran guys kind of let pressure leak through. That's not what you expect.
So against Army, they ran this pin and pull, and Hayes didn't pull. And I'm like, all right, redshirt freshman, whatever. And in this game, you have like a down G that's close to the goal line where it was Mayfield, doesn't block a guy who clearly he needs to block, and then that guy gets in the backfield and hits Hassan Haskins for a 3-yard loss. And it's just, last year Michigan was organized. Like, they didn't make a whole lot of mistakes on the ground. They got it done, and it feels like they've gone backwards in terms of just thinking the game. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what to do with that, because you have the same offensive line coach. You know, the plays haven't changed radically.
And that's why I say, you know, you wonder if you can see a way forward, because, look, these are things that are correctable. Some of the mistakes that we're talking about, most of them aren't physical mistakes. It's not that guy across from me is just better. That guy across from this player is just better than him. Most of the mistakes we are talking about aren't those kinds of mistakes. So they're correctable, but you can't just say that's going to be better, right? You can't just assume that's going to be better. You can hope.
No.
But when you look at coming off the bye week, this is a lot of these things are what we were talking about. That's going to get better, and they didn't.
I mean, it feels like they didn't do anything in the offseason except hit each other in the head with hammers. Like, the stuff that they were able to do last year, they are no longer able to do with the same players, the same offensive line coach, and it just I don't understand what's going on.
Well, I mean, the notion of the organizational question is a legit one, because in the spring in the spring practice, the thing that struck me the most was how organized the offense actually looked, and how given that it looked really organized at that early level, it's truly mystifying right now, at least. That's my sort of general impression. But still, when I look back at the Wisconsin tape, I just keep having this phrase in my head, which is the bed sheet isn't big enough to cover the bed. It just looks like something is going to go wrong on every play, something, somebody, maybe somebody different. And beyond that, it just, I couldn't come away from the feeling that Wisconsin is just a whole lot better than we are. And if we played this game 10 times, we'd see similar outcomes pretty much every time.
I don't think that's in dispute.
Okay.
Yeah, so a couple of things. So you mentioned they came out in second half. They ran the football a couple of plays successfully.
A couple of plays.
Yeah, I think.
Two.
I hear you. I think, obviously, this is you get way off script when you fall as far as deep in the hole as they did. Got a chance to talk to John Runyon about this, and he said, you know, game plan wise, you know, they plan to do a lot of the QB read stuff, quarterback yeah. involved in the run game. That was successful last year. They got jumped on so quick it took them off that script.
Yeah, that's bad coaching if you're down 14 points in the first quarter and you're like, we're going to throw away the game plan.
Well, I think but you're down 21-0 by your fourth possession.
Okay.
So I think you go down your first possession, you're down, you should score a touchdown. So that should have been a scoring drive.
In your second possession, you get the garbage call.
Second possession, yeah, you get the should have been a reception over the middle. That throws you.
I mean, you also have a first down hitch that should be 9 yards that turns into 5 yards because Tariq Black loses his mind. and then you
talk about the way where he ran back.
He ran backwards, right?
I think that's losing your mind on a hitch, trying to score a touchdown. Go get your 9 yards. And that's kind of just an issue that we've had so many times, like we had last year. Whenever we run a jet sweep, nobody can cut up behind a block. It just doesn't feel like. You see Wisconsin and what they're doing in their ground game, and it's like, okay, these guys have been practicing the same thing for 4 years. They know what they're doing. It doesn't feel like anybody on Michigan's offense has a plan.
See, I guess what I'm getting at is, you know, things when you talk about getting off script, by the time they get to a point where they can start really getting deep into that script, they're already. I mean, the game's essentially over.
Okay, well, then you can still run the script, and we can see what you were trying to do.
I hear you. And so now I'm getting to where you are. Look, Michigan is not a team that – how many times they drop back to throw the football? I mean, that's obviously, in any circumstance, going to be something that's successful because we charted the quarterback hits. I mean, quarterbacks got hit 25 times in this game.
Jeez.
Yeah. Yeah, 25 times in this game, 19 for Shea, 6 for Dylan McCaffrey. Eight of those were massive shots, were big shots.
And Dylan only played, what, 14 plays?
Right. So, yeah, he got hit 6 times.
Well, he got targeted twice.
Two of them on runs. There were 8 big shots because that was one of the things I was interested in was having Al. Like, Al, can you go through and find out quarterback hits? I mean, you can't see that on a box score.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So he did it, and he laid it out. He said, okay, 25 times you're hit. Shea was hit 19 times. Dylan hit 6 times. Between them, they had 8 huge shots that they took. 3 of those huge shots Shea took. So 3 of his 19 shots were huge.
Well, so like
5 of Dylan's shots. He took 6 shots. Yeah. 5 of them were huge.
Dylan only played 15 plays in the game. So
I mean, you get down to the goal line on the first drive, and you bring Ben Mason in. And then on second and goal from the seven, you're running basically a goal line short yardage play for Ben Mason with no read. Like, what are you doing? Like, Ben Mason cuts to the backside, and it's not even a shuffle in because there's no, like, the quarterback is not looking at the unblocked defensive end. So he's not being held at all. You have no option to pull this ball. That guy is always going to tackle, and you're going to get an upside of 3 yards, which sucks on second and seven.
Well, I mean,
it's not a successful play, and that's your max upside.
And my question about that is, why are we then, if we're not going to read, if you're not going to run read options, if for whatever reason, maybe because we don't want our quarterbacks to get killed or whatever it
is. I mean, it sounds like that.
Why are we in this offense? I mean, because it doesn't make sense to be. I mean, if you look at Urban Meyer's papers on spread offense, he said, look, if you don't have quarterbacks who can run the ball, don't be in this offense.
You can't run this offense without running the quarterback.
And I can't speak for that specific play. But, you know, according to the players, that was actually in the game plan.
I'm sure
quarterbacks
it's in the game
to be
plan.
More involved in the
but
running game.
But if it's in the game plan and it's not happening, then you just wasted your practice time.
Well, and again, look, I don't want to be in a position to kind of justify what we saw or, you know, give
but
some.
But it's good that you're trying to because somebody should.
No, I guess all I can do is offer you from a game plan perspective what the players had to say. Mm-hmm. It was that this was our plan. We saw what was successful last year. We want to take some elements of that, which seemed to make sense. When you saw how effective quarterbacks were running the football last year against this team, but they got so deep in the hole. And so I'm going to come back to where you were. I got off the point. Mm-hmm. They got to run the football. I mean, they have absolutely got to run the football.
It doesn't make any sense. You're going up against a team that has a clear personnel weakness. They're either going to play a true freshman nose tackle or they're going to play two defensive ends at defensive tackle. And you get a healthy Christian Turner, who's looked like a very good running back so far, 6 carries. There's no game plan. There's no hole that you find yourself in that can possibly explain the insanity of this approach.
Well, I mean, yeah, that's right. I mean, maybe they should be back under center with a fullback.
I mean, it's too late for that now.
I mean, but that's...
Oh, you can't. Yeah, you can't. You can't do that.
You got your same personnel from last year.
I mean, it's
the same team from last year. They forgot. I mean, they can't go back under center, use a fullback.
I mean, I think it was, like, in retrospect, it was a really bad sign when they had Ben Mason, and they're like, we have no use for this person on our offense.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you saw what Owen Schmidt did with Rich Rod, right? There's always a role for a guy like Ben Mason on any offense. And if you don't have a role for him on this offense and you're playing him at defensive tackle, then it's a failure of imagination. And to not have a fullback and just to be like, we can't have a fullback, when you have possibly the nation's best fullback, like, that's a bad sign.
Well, you look at the things that were available in this game, even with what we're talking about, you know, the not running the football as much as you would from a plan perspective. There are still a lot of things they left on the field,
and that's true. You
find yourself saying, if you can execute the things that are there, if you can do the things that are available to you,
with more
consistency.
I mean, like, if Shea Patterson isn't ever gonna find a guy on the other side of the field when his coverage is different than he expected pre-snap, is that really there? I don't know. There's that strange kind of quote from Gattis preseason, where he's like, he was worried that Patterson was spending too much time on the golf course. And then he's like, but he's been totally awesome in practice. And I'm like, I don't know which one of those is the real thing. Because, like, this version of Patterson is no better than he was last year. And there are opportunities to get balls out to people who are open, and he can't find them. And it's you expect people to improve year to year, and Patterson is not.
You know, the other thing is, I thought when they went to this offense, one of the major upsides was getting a Smurf in space, was getting a guy like Giles Jackson or Sandristol some touches out in an area where they could use their natural athletic abilities, and we're not seeing any of that, like zero.
Ronnie Bell, they've gotten some out
of Ronnie Bell, but that's mostly in a downfield passing game.
Yeah, I mean, Ronnie Bell had that, like, flare screen against Army, and that, like, the speed and space stuff. They threw a couple of wide receiver screens to a tight end, and that's it.
Yeah, one worked, one
didn't. And there's a space play to Christian Turner. He was in the open field for one. But
was he?
Yeah.
Well, I don't remember.
Just didn't make a miss on that play.
Okay.
We need to get to a break. Yeah. We are back, folks, here on the Michigan Insider on Sports Talk 1050, WTKA, online at WTK.com. So, you know, I guess a couple of things. Number one, there are no illusions about, you know, how bad it was. No sugarcoating it from players or coaches in the aftermath of that one. It was a stinker, and they talked about the reasons why. And it sounds like there's going to be some more intense competition in certain spots. I don't know why I feel like that's more about the. I feel like that's more about the defense from a personnel standpoint right now. But clear to me in the commentary is the commitment. I'd say they're going to run the football more. When a coach says we aren't physical enough on both lines of scrimmage, sure, you got to be physical and pass pro. But, man, that's about running the football. Now, granted, to your point, which you'd say, well, they didn't run the football a ton.
I mean, they didn't try.
And so, and I think that's the point. They're going to run the football. Yeah, well, we're gonna watch them run the football a ton against Rutgers.
I would like to see them run about half the time, or maybe a slightly more, as opposed to 10 runs this week. That was
just a crazy swing. Like last year, they ran I think 2/3 of the time on first down.
Yeah, 67%. That's right.
And they did it like a couple of times, but only after the game was out of hand against a team that like really seems like you should be exploring that. So. It just didn't make any sense to me.
Yeah, I think they'll run the football, make a more concerted effort to run the football this probably makes you happy, Brian, but...
No, nothing will make me happy.
This, well, when someone asked Jim Monday about the jump balls they threw, you know, when the game was obviously out of hand.
Yeah.
They were down 35-0. They threw some jump balls that wound up being...
Their best offense all year.
And so so incorporating that more into the game plan...
How's that supposed to make me happy?
Because he didn't sound like... He didn't make that sound like a ridiculous suggestion.
Oh,
he made it sound like that was something
the only
that
thing that worked all year.
Made it sound like something that they would do, and you know that's something that you put into the game plan. Like, hey, we are going to take a few jump ball shots.
So one of the things that kind of leapt out at me is they started taking some shots downfield at Collins, and then they had a first down where the Wisconsin cornerbacks were playing 10 yards off. It's first down. They throw a hitch. It's an easy 11 yards because they have to actually respect the threat of this 6'5 guy going deep on them. And, like, that was the easiest yards they got all year. And it just it boggles the mind that it took them three games and they're getting just beaten, their heads beaten in before they're like, maybe we should just try this. And I don't know.
Well,
that was a horrible offensive pass interference call, too. It was terrible.
Yeah, that wasn't a good call, but...
Well, look, at this point, we can either be stuck on a Wisconsin game or talk about what can they do to make it better.
I'd rather just be stuck on the Wisconsin game.
Why watch the rest of the season?
Well, we didn't talk about the defense.
That's actually a good question.
Yeah.
I don't know why. I don't want to. Seriously, like, we have missed the spread by at least 2 touchdowns for 6 straight games.
Yeah, which is unbelievable. I mean, it's hard to believe that such a thing could actually happen with any team.
Right. Exactly. Cause this is the most disappointing team in the country. And, you know, I'm not going to, like, talk about, like, what's going to make it better because I don't want to have any hope. Like, I'm just going to watch this the rest of the season.
I want to have some hope. You have anything?
I'm old and I want to have hope because I have no choice. But the... you know, Brian wrote a truly brilliant article this week, you know, wonderfully written, elegant, about hopelessness in some sense. And the interesting
thing... You found beauty in hopelessness.
Well, yeah, in some ways, yeah. And the responses to it, I mean, I have to give the Michigan fan base credit. I don't know if you read any of the responses.
No.
You didn't. There were some things that were written... which were just about as good as what Brian wrote. I mean, there are some people out following MGo blog who really...
What did you like? What did you like, and what was profound about what you read, the responses that you read?
It was... I mean, I don't even know. I'd have to go back and look at the specifics. I came away with a general gestalt as opposed to any particular thing. But there was a lot of writing about football that sort of connected to the meaning of life and why do we watch and what am I going to do on my Saturday afternoons as opposed to this. And, you know, see, I find the football and games like this to be about hope. And they're all about hope and nothing much else. Because otherwise, why would we care about...
That's the question, right?
Like, yeah.
I don't want to go into the rest of the season being like with any expectations. Like,
okay, yeah. Hey, no, I guess that's a choice. You know, that's a choice.
Why would you? You saw a football team get worse in absolutely every aspect. They can't fit a run. They can't run the ball. They can't throw.
Yeah,
the
we
ball.
Haven't talked about defense because there is more real estate left in this season because there are opportunities because we've seen these players play better, you know, in the past.
Yeah,
because these coaches, it's not like, you know, these guys just came from, you know, Rutgers.
It kind of is. I mean, like, look, let's look at it. Like, they spent all season trying to do this zone stuff, and now they can't fit a run.
We're talking about three games.
They panicked, and their panic has backfired.
They're three games in.
Exactly. The three consecutive worst games to open a season in a long time.
But they're only three games
in. Sam is reminding me of a guy named Fred Wolf, who used to run a show on Saturday afternoon called, I don't know if it was Beat the Champ or Bowling for Dollars, and he used to end his show with, If you can do it with a pencil, you can do it with a bowling ball. Now, I never knew what that meant as a kid.
Yeah, I don't know what it means now.
It meant if you can put the score in, I don't care how bad of a bowler you are, if you can actually put strike, 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 it took me a long time.
I'm not just saying that. It'd be, have I bowled strike, strike, strike before? Yeah. If I bowled strike, strike, mm-hmm. strike before, then yeah. But if I've never done it, okay, then my hope is
so
ridiculous.
You understood that? He's saying
as long as there's an opportunity,
right.
then there's hope.
Right.
Yeah. I'm not just saying blind hope. I'm saying, hey, we've seen these guys play better than they played on Saturday.
Let me tell you.
And because we've seen that, there is opportunity for them to do that moving forward.
Let me tell you about the black pit of negative expectations.
It makes you feel better. Is that what you're telling me?
It's an emotional defense mechanism when you go and this is like, I don't want to get
your hopes up
for this because like someone's just going to punch me in the nuts.
Yeah, I hear you. I understand that. That's what I'm saying. It's definitely a choice.
I agree. We're sort of looking into the abyss of Michigan football, but it's an abyss loaded with murder wolves in the corner.
Let's look at the defense. I mean, think about it, guys. Yeah. I think about some of the big – I'm not talking about the times where they got wiped off the line of scrimmage or you got, you know, Jordan Glasgow
in a
goal line
tackle
situation. I'm not talking about those.
Who thought that was a good idea?
Well, it might have not been terrible.
Wisconsin called a timeout on 4th-and-1, and they were like, is Glasgow still at the defensive tackle? Well, is he in the A gap? No, he's not even in the A gap.
Right. If he was in the A gap, maybe you could rationalize it, but
there's
there was
nobody
no one in the
A gap.
Yeah, it was like, yeah. And I understand. Yeah, you had two guys in the B gap. I get that. I'm not even talking about that. And you could, I mean, it sounds like to me, a mental error. But we saw time and time again where the gap discipline was just
so
completely, completely lost.
So the problem that really jumped out to me is, so Wisconsin has kind of a weird thing on their power plays where they shoot their fullback into the backside and then they pull two OL.
Mm-hmm.
This is what they do very consistently. And Michigan, like Uche did this, Ross did this a couple of times. They would just follow the fullback
away from the
play.
And the running back is always going inside of the fullback. He's never going outside.
The fullback is on the backside of the play.
But that's what I mean. Go ahead.
So the whole linebacker level should know that this is what Wisconsin does all the time. And Michigan's middle linebacker seems like he hasn't even scouted Wisconsin. And like that, like you can't fit a run. You don't know what Wisconsin does. Like,
you saw some basic fundamental things, like on the 70 whatever yard touchdown,
where we don't set an edge.
The tackle blocks down and your end gives up his outside arm. I mean that can be fixed.
Why?
That can be because that's fundamental football.
I know.
That's what I'm saying.
But it was fundamental football last year too.
It was. And my point is, we've seen that guy. We've seen. So it was Quitty on that, but we've seen him execute better than that.
Yeah, but so when when it's everybody on the team failing
right.
to execute.
No, like, you're absolutely. I'm not. Look, am I here guaranteeing you that everything is going to be okay? I'm not telling you. It's a risk. You're right. Hope is a risk.
Hope is a risk. Hope is stupid.
There you go.
In this context, it is stupid to be like, okay, what are we going to be at the end of the 8-4? Who cares? Honestly.
8-4 might be pretty good, Brian.
I just choose to look at what they have done as a recipe for my hope the rest of the
night. I mean, I'm looking at what they've done, too.
Right. And look, it's not a perfect recipe. I'm not telling you it's going to be a gourmet meal at the end of the season. I'm just saying some of the errors that we saw on that football field, and there are a litany of errors on both sides of the ball at every position. So I'm not minimizing how bad that was. It was terrible. I mean, we talked about it all week, right? But we've seen guys play better football than that.
Yes.
Than that.
That's
some of the fundamental breakdowns that they showed. I mean, and it wasn't just Quitty on that play.
No.
I mean, you have him give up his outside arm, and then you have you know, your deep middle guy
is running the wrong way.
Get completely caught outside. So even if that play gets 15, it should get 15, 20 yards, sure. And that'd be it.
And that's
see, that's my point.
That's a situation where Michigan put LeVert Hill on the jet guy, and then they swapped LeVert Hill, who is not a safety, back to the safety on the jet.
But he is a veteran.
He's a veteran. He's not a safety.
He's not.
Why is that not Josh Metellus?
You feel like you can play with greater versatility when you have an experienced guy like that out there. And this is not calling anyone out as much as it is saying, you know, a veteran, when it's a veteran player or a couple of veteran players,
it's like
and you've seen them play better, you know they have more than that in them. To me, that's part of the hope for the future, that they aren't going to keep – at least the hope is that they aren't going to keep making those kinds of mistakes.
Okay.
And if they do, then now, hey, maybe you're playing other guys.
By Arthur Sitkowski.
Yeah.
I wouldn't go that far.
That won't happen.
I wouldn't go that far.
But again, I'll go back to, as we got to get to a break here, this is the kind of football we saw them play Saturday. They played much better football than that before.
And not in the last half season.
If you want to have hope, therein lies the hope that they play better football than that.
In living memory, apparently.
We got to get to a break. Brian, Craig, you have any hope? You have any hope?
Yes. No, I do. I'm not quite.
Do you have any justification for this?
No, hope? No. I have little justification for the hope, but okay. I still have hope because, as Sam says, I'm willing to take the risk. And I still think, and there have been certain instances
where
teams turned it around.
And you're like, that would be nice. So you don't have hope.
Well, 8-4 right now feels like an okay season. Yeah. and it's hope for me, even though I picked us to win the Big Ten championship this year. So in the Ann Arbor Observer, and now, you know, I'm probably been fired. So, yeah, I have hope. I mean, it's happened before. The one season that I recall is we came out, it was just 98. I think we got killed by Notre Dame at Syracuse. Notre Dame. And then Donovan McNabb just destroyed us at home. I think we might have been down 28-0 in that game.
It's true.
And his boss.
Pardon me?
Even in that game, we had a running back run for 100 yards.
Yeah.
Walter Cross.
Yeah, we looked better that than... Yeah,
that's pretty good.
And wasn't Brady.
I was
our
in the student section.
Okay.
And there was like a hardened cadre of people who were still around, and they spent like the second half chanting "Cross is boss."
Yeah.
That was back when we could be like morbidly surprised by these things.
Yeah. But then we did finish the season, I think, with only one more loss.
This is the bowl game, wasn't it?
No, they beat Arkansas. I think it was 45-11.
Oh, that's right.
I think we beat Arkansas 45-11, and Arkansas was number 11 in the country at that time. We lost to Ohio State, I think, something like 30-16, if my memory's right. And so the team did sort of right itself. I mean, is this an irrational thought that they'll right themselves? Well, maybe. But I still wanna have that hope.
Let's go to the phones real quick. Eddie and Callie, gotta make it quick. Eddie, what's up?
Hey, how you guys doing? Thanks for squeezing me in. Just real quick, there's a lot of things obviously that were shocking about the game. I can't believe that for about a decade now, the O-line at Michigan just has been a complete failure at protecting the quarterback. You look at the handful of quarterbacks there, Denard Robinson, Devin Gardner, Shane Morris, Wilton Spate. Now you got Patterson. You got McCaffrey. They have all been beaten up. It's just shocking that they have failed to find a competent offensive line. And when you see the game, too, the biggest thing I think that glared at me was just the lack of grit, the lack of fire. You saw a bunch of ex-players talking about that, and I couldn't help but ask myself, have the players lost faith in Harbaugh? What do you guys think? Did you guys ask yourself that? What do you think?
I think that you need some of the guys, and maybe it's some of the younger guys that have more of this quotient in them. But I think to me, dog is an essential element on a team, and you had it last year when a guy is standing in the middle of the stadium scratching up, you know, the Spartan S. That kind of intensity, that kind of fire, is something. It's certainly when someone takes a shot at your quarterback that you need more of. To me, that's about maybe some of the older guys not being that type of guy, or not bringing that to the fore. Maybe being that type of guy and not bringing it to the fore. But now is the time where you need to see it. Need to see more of that. Kind of thing. When a guy takes a shot at your quarterback like that, you gotta say something. I'm not saying throw a punch.
Yeah.
But that's the time where you're supposed to show some fight.
I mean, you had it last year with Winovich and Devin Bush.
Yeah.
You had that fire. And yeah, you don't see it this year. But the bigger thing is Winovich and Devin Bush could really play.
Really play, yeah.
I mean, that was a bigger thing to me. So,
there was going to be a step back when you lose that. I mean, it was always who didn't believe that they were gonna have to, you know, there was going to be a step back in performance, and you lost all those guys to the NFL. I mean, one time they were able to rebound and be just as good, but is that the exception or the rule? Right now, you got to say it's the exception. Hopefully, it'll become the rule down the line. It's just not that yet.
I'm hoping for 8-4.
All right, we shall see. And you guys, damn. Where's my... Didn't I give you a bottle of whiskey last week, and you didn't bring it back?
It's gone. What did you think was going to happen?
All right, folks, we got to get out of here.
Better than us!
No!